This is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello, welcome to episode 38 of Screen View. I am Peter Van, here is Amy, and here is John.
Amy, hello, hello. Down.
How is everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome. I'm doing good.
Very good.
Just giving you a hassle, you know.
Yeah, happy week before Thanksgiving.
Cha-ching! Box office report! Right.
That's right, yeah.
The earliest Thanksgiving can ever be done.
Awesome.
Isn't it weird that with a leap year, Thanksgiving is earlier?
I think it's just that Thanksgiving started on the November started on the Thursday this year. Mm. Everything got thrown out of whack. This whole year is just weird.
Yeah.
Leap year has screwed everything over because now Christmas is on. Christmas and New Year's are on like randomly in the middle of the week.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Tuesday, and then New Year's is on a Tuesday as well.
I just started my new job and only get one floating holiday. I decide whether I want Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve off.
Oh, wow.
Decisions.
Anyway. Top 10.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so I guess right in the pre-show we were talking about Skyfall, giving it to never mind. Let's restart that. Skyfall beating out Wreck-It Ralph. I was going to say giving it to Ralph. But
oh, yeah. Don't say that. Don't say it again.
Oh, yeah. Don't say that again. So Skyfall this weekend essentially dominated the box office with $88.36 million.
All those Bond fans.
It's funny. I mean, obviously in the top 10, Skyfall killed Wreck-It Ralph money-wise. But at the theater that I went to, I haven't been to the movies in a while. I assumed that it was Wreck-It Ralph's first week because there was a lot of people going to see it at the theater I was at.
Yeah,
I mean, there were screens of Skyfall that were sold out, but there were more screens of Wreck-It Ralph that were sold out. And the theater that I go to hardly ever gets sold out.
Wow. Well, we went to a different theater than we normally do, and there were a lot of old people there. We felt like the youngest people in the crowd. So we're like, oh my gosh, wow. Well, this is, I guess there must be a lot of old people living in this area because, you know, there were like no kids anywhere. I was like, oh, well, this is good though, because that means we won't have a disrupted movie. And it was great.
Shut that kid up.
Yeah. Take that kid out, please. Or the little the young teeny boppers that sit behind you that put their feet up on the seat. Yeah, we didn't have that problem.
When we were younger, we went to go see Star Wars, and this one,
The Empire
kid,
Strikes Back, yeah, Empire with my brother.
And his baby would not shut up.
Just it was like right before when they do the Fox logo, and then they do the scrolling, this baby started crying, and some super nerd in the front of the audience stood up and turned around and said, "Shut that kid up!"
Because that'll help.
You don't bring a baby to the movies in the first place, but the baby was crying and the movie hadn't even started yet and this guy was freaking out.
Yeah. Oddly enough, it was in the middle of the day. It was kind of like, it was kind of just weird. It was in the middle of the day and it was packed, so it was kind of weird.
Cool.
But so Skyfall has currently, worldwide, has already amassed $569 million.
Whoa!
It is set to be the highest grossing Bond of all time. And which was previously set by Casino Royale, which was Daniel Craig's first film. So this movie is going to make a ton of cash.
I got a question. How come the number, the 88,000, if you look at our screen view show notes, the take for the weekend is $88,364,714.
Yeah.
But the overall take, obviously, you said worldwide is $569 million, but the number above that, shouldn't that be the same as the weekend take? It says 90 million.
Yeah, right? I think it might. include something like maybe includes the IMAX stuff, possibly.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was released in IMAX.
Yeah,
because there were a lot of people online at the theater I was at to see it in fake IMAX.
Yeah, the fake Max. Yeah, I think that's what it was because. Okay. Yeah, because Thursday night it made $2 million, $2.2 million just in IMAX alone, which is kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
So yeah, and then it's supposed to be the top UK grossing this year, and it's supposed to beat Avatar in the UK, which in the UK Avatar only made 150 million, so it's not that much.
And Avatar only it came out this year?
No, Avatar, the blue alien movie.
Yeah, but oh, overall it's the highest.
Yeah, overall, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I should have.
I was gonna say
a little bit more.
Specific. Why would that movie come out 3 years later?
So number two was last week's film, Wreck-It Ralph, with $33 million, which is actually pretty respectable. It only dropped 32.7%.
Oh, real quick, back to Skyfall. I finally saw the trailer for Iron Man because I was forced to, but I'm really excited for it.
Oh, because it was attached to the front.
Yeah.
So you got
I'm
to see.
Really Patriot. Excited for
so
it.
So you got to see Patriot Iron Man. Patriot.
Oh my God.
I wonder who's in that thing. Norman Osborn.
Guy Pearce.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Cool. Anyway. So number three was Flight. Number four, Argo, which is actually still doing really well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just going to keep trucking along. It's going to.
Does Flight take place during the flight or after the flight?
After the
flight. I
think
it's after the flight, yeah.
And there's flashbacks during the flight?
Yep.
Makes sense.
Did you know
because
that? Yeah.
Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, this looks really cool. It's like.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, so.
It's like an airport. It looks like an airport type movie, or like, you know, the movie that Airplane spoofed. And then it was like, but wait, it looks like there's a lot of talking in this movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't understand. But then they like showed a plane flying upside down, and I was like, whoa, but it doesn't seem like that kind of movie.
Yeah.
And I really kind of want to see it.
It's a Robert Zemeckis movie, which I didn't know until today.
The only good Robert Zemeckis movies are ones with cartoon rabbits and DeLoreans.
Right.
Oh, wow.
What about the creepy dead or alive train drivers?
Creepy dead or alive train drivers?
Yeah, Polar Express, where everyone's kind of creeped out.
I never saw that movie.
Oh, okay, with the dead eyes, yeah.
Yeah, just like the floating eyes.
I've heard people say that. It doesn't seem to bother
movie.
Me so much. My kids love it, so.
And I was like, never saw it. Don't really have the passion to see it.
You got to see it just for the fact that Tom Hanks plays more than one character.
That's great. But then you can watch Cloud Atlas. And then you can see it live action.
Relatives of mine saw Cloud Atlas over the weekend, and one really liked it, and one was very confused as to what it was about.
Is it just like, it's a bunch of like stories from that one author, right? That he just
kind of... like... Yeah, it's like a serendipity type thing where these two people, they live their lifetime in a certain time period, and then they get reborn. Reincarnated, thank you. And then meet up again, even though like there are differences keeping them apart. They meet up and fall in love.
Over and over and over again.
Ugh,
six
yeah.
times. Six times.
Six
wow.
Times. Six times.
But, although the one that really liked it said four times, so it makes me wonder if she even paid attention.
I wasn't paying attention. I don't know. I never saw
it. Did you see it?
No. I was reading reviews on it.
So. Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it yet either. I wanted to, but I thought, which do I want to go see? Skyfall?
I mean, you have to see Skyfall. There's really no
yeah, yeah.
to see it. All right, so Taken 2, which I saw over the weekend, it was really terrible.
Ooh.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, it was really bad.
I've heard a few people say that it wasn't that great.
It was just like,
either
and I thought, what the
hell? Liam Neeson is supposed to be awesome, right?
He is. No, he was awesome, but it was just like, okay, this
well, is he's busy of... lending his voice to the governor on The Walking Dead. Has anyone else picked up on that?
Oh my gosh, you're oh,
that
God,
sounds
I think
like
about
him?
It.
It sounds, yeah.
It's, that's cool. It doesn't sound like him, it's Liam Neeson's voice.
Oh my gosh.
Serious?
not being serious. Well, come on. If you watch The Walking Dead and listen to the governor talk, if you close your eyes in the governor's scenes, you're like, wow, Liam Neeson is on the show.
Have you ever heard David Morrissey speak in his real voice?
Who's David Morrissey?
The guy who plays the governor.
Oh, no.
He's got a really strong accent. So he tries
So
he's trying to hide it, but at the same time, he's trying to give himself a southern accent. So at the same time, he just sounds like really bizarre.
Well, maybe he's trying to channel his inner Liam.
Yeah.
It's true.
Well, they're both from... Well, I guess Liam Neeson's Irish, right?
Yeah.
But they're both from over there. It sounds like Liam Neeson and... Like when Liam Neeson has an American accent.
Yeah.
That's what he sounds like.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, from Batman Begins or whatever.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, so number six was Cloud Atlas. We don't know if it was actually six stories or four stories, but regardless, it's a lot of stories. Man with the Iron Fists, number seven. Pitch Perfect, number eight. I still have no idea what that movie's about.
What, Pitch Perfect?
Yeah.
I do want to see the Man with the Iron Fist, though.
Just imagine. Crap! Now I can't think of the word. That TV show that has all the singing on it. Darn it!
Oh, that's right. It's Glee for movie.
Yeah, Glee in movie format. That's all I have to think about.
So Glee is Glee. Smash is Glee for adults, and Pitch Perfect is Glee for movies. I guess.
Yeah.
Is Smash still on TV?
Yeah, I think it's mid-season. I think it's coming back in mid-season.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because for some reason I kept getting that confused with Trouble with the Curve. That, I thought it was a baseball movie. And I was like, so I thought Pitch Perfect.
Was a baseball movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Starring Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, starring Clint Eastwood.
Well, if you ask my dad, Trouble with the Curve is not really a baseball movie either.
About an old man. Is it an old man movie?
No. That's Gran Torino.
Oh.
From what I understand, it's like Clint Eastwood is my father, but I'm going to date Justin Timberlake and take my father's job as a baseball scout.
Oh. All right. Okay. all right.
My parents went to see it, and they made it seem like it's like not a Clint Eastwood starring movie.
Oh.
That's what it's billed as.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Number nine, Here Comes the Boom, and number 10 is Hotel Transylvania. So, all right. So this weekend is unfortunately the Twilight Saga: Breaking Dawn Part 2. Hey, Amy, are you gonna go see this with a bunch of your girlfriends again?
You know what? I totally have dropped the ball. I probably won't.
Oh,
actually,
how dare you?
I know. Is it terrible? Is it supposed to be this weekend?
Yes. 4,000 theaters. You're not going to be able to miss it if you wanted to.
You can still catch a showing in 2 hours.
That's true.
I don't want to do it tonight. That's just ridiculous.
Oh, come on. What are you talking about?
You know what? I will have to make a phone call and see, but I don't know.
Speaking of, this call just caught my eye. The Lincoln is also opening this weekend.
It's expanding. It was a very small viewing last weekend, along with Skyfall.
But how many is very small? How many theaters? I mean, because if it's still less than 2,000 theaters, that's really not a whole lot of...
I think it's going to keep going, obviously. I mean, Lincoln is like the... Lincoln had only 11 theaters.
Jeez.
And it made $85,000 per theater, which is higher than Skyfall. Which only made $25,000 per theater, and I think we lost.
But
he's back. Wait, okay.
What?
We lost you there for a second, buddy.
Oh,
I didn't lose him.
Lincoln. Oh, really? Oh,
still less than 2,000 theaters for a movie that they've been promoting like they have for Lincoln.
I know. I've actually seen more commercials for Lincoln than I have seen for Twilight. Thankfully. Yeah, I guess they. I guess they bothered not to expand Lincoln too much because of Twilight. I guess.
Ah. Well, you know, you can't keep up with all of those, you know, female fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, it's not going to win the weekend, but
no.
Maybe not, but it's going to have a real good, you know.
We're going to go see Lincoln, definitely.
Yeah, but maybe it'll be like Argo, which just kind of, you know, slowly. it's only won the box office like once one weekend, but then essentially it's just been in the top 10 for 5 weekends now, right?
Right.
Well, even for a couple times. And...
Yeah. Sam, even though you didn't like it, Taken in 2 has been in the top 10 for 6 weeks, so.
Yep.
Yeah, it really wasn't that good.
It doesn't matter. People
I mean,
don't.
I mean, it's made $131 million domestically. It only cost $45 million. So they're going to make a Taken 3.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Taken prequel, maybe. Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Well, there are other movies that have done really, really well that have very, very bad plot. So
Liam Neeson's training.
This is not new. This is not Taken. New at all.
Yeah. How did Lincoln get these skills? Or Liam Neeson. How did, no, not Lincoln.
Lincoln, I was going to say.
Know. Slaying vampires. Yeah, how did Liam Neeson obtain these skills?
He's Liam Neeson. He was a god, and he was also a big lion. He's played... Oh, and he's also been a Jedi as well, so...
And yeah. He taught Batman.
Not to mention, he also saved some Jewish people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he could have saved more.
He could have saved more. Could have done more.
It's his reputation has created a following.
Yes, absolutely. Amy, can you refresh your video? You're a little frozen there.
Oh, bummer.
Okay, so I guess you guys have heard about this. I don't know if you have. Maybe you have. Disney bought Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
For $4.05 billion, and Star Wars Episode 7 will be coming in 2015.
Now, and it'll be coming to a Disney near you. Woo!
Yes, and it has been confirmed, and sources have confirmed to the Hollywood Reporter that Michael Arndt, who helped write Toy Story 3, has already written a 40-50 page extended outline for the movie, and will most likely write a draft of the script.
I have a question for about this
new.
Purchase.
Yeah, Star Wars. Star Wars Episode
Nice. 6. Okay.
Am I crazy, or did Lucasfilm also help produce the Indiana Jones movies?
Yes, would think that they did. Yeah.
So, does that mean that Disney now owns the rights to Indiana Jones?
No, most likely. It's most likely that it was mainly done by.
DreamWorks didn't exist yet.
Studio. Yeah, you're right. It is a studio. The studio is Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
Even for the final one, even for the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Right.
It's Lucasfilm.
Because I know that George Lucas and Spielberg, you know, wrote the first 3 movies together.
Right. Yeah, you're right. That means, wow. It's crazy. Even the Indiana Jones stuff is.
Because everything, obviously, when you talk about George Lucas, everyone goes straight to Star Wars. But
yeah,
that was the first thing I thought of. Well, it's not just Star Wars; it's got to be other stuff too.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, they're definitely. I guess.
Not that people have been clamoring for another Indiana Jones movie after the last one, but they have that now. If they wanted to just do something with it,
yeah, that's true. That's very true. So, the good thing about, about all of this is, you know, not aside from the fact that whether or not you enjoy the Star Wars movies or not, the latest Star Wars movies, but he did, George Lucas did donate most of this money to hit the charity for children education.
Oh, well, that's good. I thought, oh, that's good.
I believe he actually runs his own foundation.
I think that the idea of the set of movies after the original Star Wars is a million times better than the idea of the prequels. Prequels, in my mind, are a waste of time because
you're warning yourself, right? You've already painted yourself into a corner. You're gonna have to like.
You already know what characters live. You already know what characters die. You already know where they end up. So the whole idea of like. An audience being captivated of how Anakin Skywalker becomes Darth Vader, it's not that interesting. You know he's going to be Darth Vader. It's not like he's going to fight against it and not do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole idea is not yeah, you've shoehorned yourself into what you can do with the character. You can't do anything. And if you introduce new characters, it becomes, well, what happened to them?
What happened to that, yeah, to that new character, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
so what, either the new character dies or something else happens to them where they're kicked out of, or people think they were dead.
Right. So the idea of expanding the universe after what is known is a better idea. I mean, obviously, there's all kinds of novels and stuff that have been written, and I've read a handful of them.
I have, too.
Yeah.
They don't have to necessarily follow that, and I'm sure they probably won't, but the idea that you can introduce new characters, and it's not like, well, where do they come from? Because they came from this movie. You don't have to worry about where their setup is. So I think it's a good idea. I don't have my hopes too high for it.
Right.
But, well, see, my dad has always been saying to me, George Lucas promised us 9 Star Wars movies, and they've only gotten 6 so far. Get over it. They're not coming out with the other 3. Plus, right. The other 3 were terrible, so what do you want them for?
Yeah, and then Disney bought it.
9, I want 9.
That does sound like something your dad would say. At least before I'm dead. Yeah. Give me 9. Yeah, that's. I mean, you're right. Because I actually had this conversation with a bunch of people earlier. They said, "What are they going to do?" And they thought I was kidding when I said they wrote a whole bunch of books, the expanded universe books. You know.
Oh yeah, some of them actually were pretty good.
Yeah, so. And they said, "Did you read all of these books?" I was like, "I read some of them. Some were bad. Some of them, and then good.
Yeah. So, some were. But then I heard like the series that after I stopped reading, like Timothy Zahn did a whole bunch of them, and then they did this other whole series, and. From what I had a friend tell me, it's like actually that was the series that was really good. I thought, oh, okay, well, I guess I better go back and read it someday.
A lot of the ones that I read revolve around Luke Skywalker as a Jedi after, obviously they probably won't do anything like that because Mark Hamill is not doing very much screen acting anymore.
And he's old.
Yeah, and he's old.
Well,
and
but
like the ones that they're written, he's not that old. I mean, he's like maybe a year or two after the last movie, so it's okay. Right.
He's so old, they can do old. Carrie Fisher's crazy.
Right. They can do whatever they want, and there's nothing saying, well, you can't do that, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, nerds are going to cry about it. That's not in the expanded universe. Well, guess what? It doesn't matter.
This it doesn't matter, because Disney owns it now. They can do whatever the hell they want with it.
Exactly. Yeah,
they could do it off, based off the game.
George Lucas
I've seen some pretty awesome stuff with the game.
Universe. Well, George Lucas is only a consultant now, so it doesn't matter. Yeah.
George Lucas sold it, so
yeah,
I'm still gonna go watch it. So why do you care?
Exactly.
Right, so.
Either we'll love it or we're gonna hate it, and we'll just sit there and bash on it here on Screen View.
Yeah. Well, it's. Gives us something to do every week or every other week or however often we do this.
Yeah, when we're done smashing The Hobbit, we'll smash.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what got me thinking? I was watching Snow White and the Huntsman on Netflix. My wife got it from her Netflix list and we watched it. And it was Kristen Stewart's a terrible actress. But I was reading up about it and it said that the American Little People Association were upset at that movie because they didn't get any little people actors to play the dwarves in the movie.
Okay.
And all I can think was they didn't get any little people actors to play in any of the Lord of the Rings movie, and I'm pretty sure none of them are little people in The Hobbit.
Yeah, and then they didn't get little people to play in the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory either.
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing up in arms about that, so I don't understand, I don't know. It's just something that caught my mind. You said The Hobbit, it made me think about it, so I just thought that was weird.
That is kind of odd.
Yeah, that is kind of
odd. They're upset about being...
It was such a stupid thing. It was like a blurb on IMDb, and it was like... The Little People Association of America was very upset because they didn't use any little people actors for the dwarves, even though this movie was filmed and produced in England or wherever it was. And it was like, okay.
Does that have to do with anything? I don't know. Little people can get on planes, right? I mean,
yeah, and they can act anywhere.
Yeah. the wrong climax.
Why didn't
can't
they?
Act.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought that was weird.
Wow.
Oh, cool. Well, let's see here. Surprisingly enough, for the first time in 10 years, NBC has won 5 of this season's seven weeks now. But they still won a crap ton of weeks so far, and which is not involving football. Which is kind of weird, right?
Not including the football games?
Since Super Bowl week, so they have won 5 of the season's first 6 weeks in 18 to 49, the first time in 10 years. I mean, obviously sports, right? And it says rankings excludes sports pre and post game shows. So they're the number one new drama for Revolution.
Hold on a second. Say that again. Excludes
sports pre and post game shows,
but not the sports itself. So, like, they have Football Night in America, and they have, like, a two-hour show before that, and then the half-hour show after it. Those are the pre- and post-game shows.
Well, in these stats, they still have their viewership is up, and let's see here.
Right. I'm not saying that they're wrong, but it was worded weirdly.
Yeah, you're right. And then they had so Mondays, The Voice and Revolution are tied for number 4, and Tuesdays The Voice is tied for number 6. The number one drama is Revolution. The number one new drama is Revolution. The new comedy is Go On, and the number one Friday series is Grimm. And then
good for them.
And then the top new top 6 new shows of the fall. Revolution is their share is 5.4. Elementary is 3.4. Go On is 3.4. Nashville is 3.2. And the Mindy Project is 2.8.
Oh, well, there's actually two on here that I'm actually watching, and they're both the top 2. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I'm surprised. Usually mine are not even on the list.
I'm watching zero of those shows.
Yeah. I'm watching the first 2 shows. And then
Revolution and
Go
Elementary
On still
yeah.
looks kind of stupid. I'm not too sure.
I haven't had the guts to watch that one.
and then New Normal just essentially seems like a ripoff of Modern Family. So
yeah.
The Mindy Project is an NBC Universal show that's shown on Fox.
Yeah.
And I think that Modern Family and How I Met Your Mother are both Fox shows that are on ABC and CBS.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of CBS television. There's a couple like CBS
kind of weird
yeah. shows.
We've been watching the DVDs of How I Met Your Mother, and they all start out with the Fox drum roll, and I'm like, this is so weird. Because I know the show is on CBS.
That is weird. I guess, you know, nowadays, like, ABC likes to have their own studio now, so they like to pull a lot of those shows like that, like a lot of ABC studio shows.
Mm-hmm.
But that's yeah. That is it is weird how it always just kind of like blurs like that.
Yeah,
they just sell it wherever they can.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, Amy, you'll be happy about this. Arrow and Beauty and the Beast were both picked up so far for full season.
Oh wow! I'm not so sure about Beauty and the Beast. The first 3 episodes were pretty rough, in my opinion.
That means it's gonna be. That means it's a good show. It got picked up, although it's on the CW. So.
Does the Beast live in the sewers, like in the old Beauty and the Beast?
He's not like the one, the old Beauty and Beast, where he's basically a guy that went over to, you know, Iraq or whatever, and they experimented on him, and that's why he turns into what he turns into. So it's like a completely different take.
Beauty and the Beast in name?
So yeah, I think it's Beauty and the Beast in name. She's a cop. He helps save her life. There's no, you know, mashup between, you know, reality and fantasy.
No singing teapots and
no. Yeah,
did you ever see that
stuff.
TV show, Pete? It had Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman.
No,
Beauty and the Beast. It was kind of like the late 80s, early 90s, and he was the Beast in like the Beast makeup, and he lived in the sewer.
And it was he wore it good too. He did a good. I mean, the Beast looked. He looks like a cross between like a lion and a man. Yeah.
Kind of weird.
and Linda Hamilton.
It was good. In that one, they had more like a few more ether real type of themes to it. This one doesn't have any of that.
That was more typical of the Beauty and the Beast folk.
There was like a fantastic kind of thing. Yeah. Like they go down to the sewers and they go back into these sewers and they, you know, find these great spacious, you know, chambers and stuff like that. And there was that. But this one, it's all based in reality. There's a real reason why he's the Beast.
Well, come on. What kind of girl doesn't love a guy who lives in a sewer?
He doesn't live in the sewer in this one. He's just really... Yeah.
I like these pictures. These are great.
Well, you know, it's the same reason why we, you know, Ninja Turtles live in the sewer. There you go.
That at least makes sense.
I didn't love the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I love the Ninja Turtles, yeah.
I love the Ninja Turtles, but I wasn't, like, in love with the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, it's time.
Before this gets weird, let's talk about death.
Yeah, it's time, you guys. If you have not seen, like, last couple weeks of Fringe or the last couple of weeks of The Walking Dead, you should skip.
Yeah, turn it off now because we're going to spoil the heck out of it, man.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about death, death, and more death.
Surprising death.
Surprising deaths, yes.
Death
so
surprise you and go, shocking.
So let's start the first with Fringe, you guys. Who saw that coming?
I didn't. Oh my gosh.
I didn't, but I'll let you go first because I think it
makes sense. I mean, I didn't see that coming, but now afterwards I look at it and go, yeah, because they did need to have something that really, you know, like it's a conflict that so the stakes had to be raised.
Right.
And so I get it, but I'm like, oh my gosh, was it gripping? It was like, no, not Etta.
My whole feeling is, we've only known the character for 4 or 5 episodes.
Four episodes.
I didn't have, personally, an emotional connect to the character. So when she died, it was just like, to me, it was like, eh.
This was the
thing. Because she wasn't really on the show. Like,
true.
She wasn't part of their group. To me, she seemed like an outsider.
But it was the fact that you knew how it affected them before that made it made her death. Like,
and
they did a good job making you care about her because Olivia and Peter cared so much about her, and they had, you know, their relationship kind of fell apart when she disappeared. And so you're like, the reason why I cared about her dying was because I knew how they would react when they found out, and they reacted exactly the way that I expected them to. But it was just like, no, not Etta. They just got her back.
My other problem, not really problem, that's not the right word for it. My other thing is that I can see this show going to where it's going to end. The show has, nine episodes or six, whatever many, seven episodes left.
Yeah.
I'm getting a vibe, of where it's going with it. Yeah,
they're
going
to win. They're going to beat the Watchers, and things are going to revert back to when Etta was a kid.
Oh,
and I'm
not
going to be
so.
That's what I, yeah.
That's not that's the vibe I that I got at all.
Well, I mean, I have other feelings watching the different shows, but I just, like, as soon as she died, it was just like, well, she's not going to be gone because there's going to be something where they're going to go back. Everything's going to be okay again. You know what I mean?
I'm not getting that vibe at all. I'm actually worried that what they're getting at is that, especially this last episode where Peter put the thing in his neck, mm-hmm. and he's starting to become like one of the, you know, the bald, you know.
Yeah, the Watchers, yeah.
The Watchers. Because they have said in
Observer,
that they are humans that evolved into that.
Right.
So my worry is that he's the first
Observer, yeah.
He's the first Observer. And not only that, is that their relationship, her relationship, Olivia's relationship with Peter is going to be like that. He's going to move so far away from that, and then you find out that he's responsible for everything. The Observers are because he's the first,
right?
And I thought that wow, that's you know, I'm like, well, it would make sense and it would be very Fringe-like. But then it also comes down to, will he stop or will she be able to change him? I mean, you know, it'll just be that whole time thing, you know, if he's able to pull away from that or whatnot. I don't know. I don't know. I'm worried that he's going to die in the end and that'll be the end. I'm like, ah!
Yeah. I mean, like I said, my first thought when as soon as Edda died was everything will be fine. Once the season's over, they'll go back to like sitting in the field and she's a kid again and they won't remember anything and everything will be okay. But this past episode, when the one observer said to Peter, I know what you did and you made a big mistake, at that point I was like, okay, he's the first observer. That's my feeling also. I don't know. I mean, that's just the way I felt about that particular death. And it takes a while for me to get emotionally connected to characters. Because I'm a man and I have a hard, you know, I have an exterior shell around my heart, but no, there wasn't enough development. I cared about the Olivia character and the Peter character and about what their feelings are and how they felt about her. But the way I felt about her is not the same way. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for Peter and Olivia.
Right.
But I don't feel upset that she's not on the show anymore.
Yeah.
And also, the other thing that adds to that is that the fact that even though he's off his rocker, Walter, it didn't seem to bother Walter all that much either as a character. And he's her grandfather.
I think it's because of the way he experienced it, right? Because he experienced the death of his son twice. Technically, right?
Right.
And he's also experienced it, and he dealt with it in different ways.
But
not
he's
with
also
ways that he was like mourning for it, but you remember how he kind of like started freaking out this past episode, going into that little pocket universe and stuff. He was kind of he wasn't exactly functioning the way that he usually functions. So he was kind of getting off the chain a little bit.
He's also if this last episode he was saying how he's worried that he's becoming like Walternet, having the cold, calculating, that he's turning into that. So it didn't bother me as much, and I think that they, at least for me, they kind of wrapped it up in that sense. Oh, this is why Walter, you know, since he's been the observers of done stuff to his brain, he's like, you know, so he's worried that he's losing himself, and so in that made sense to me.
Speaking of Walton, I have a real bone to pick with Fox, and I don't know if either of you guys picked up on this or if you even watched it live. But Fox has apparently started phoning it in for Fringe. I DVR it. I didn't watch it live, but we DVR it, and it usually picks up to like the last 30 seconds of the show before that, like the scenes for next week's episode.
Yeah.
Which is like Hell's Kitchen or one of those Gordon Ramsay shows, one of the 7 Gordon Ramsay shows that Fox has. And it said, you know, that show ended with the clips, and then they do like a teaser, you know, this is Fringe is next.
Yeah.
The thing said, two worlds, only one of them can survive. What's going to happen next on Fringe? And I turned to my wife and I was like, that's
like
from last year's.
That's from last year's, yeah.
And I was like, and at first I was like, well, that's either a huge spoiler for the end of the season, or they're just replaying stuff and not paying attention to the show at all.
Wow. Yeah. Shame on Fox.
And at first I thought it was a spoiler, and I was really upset, like that the whole other universe is going to come back.
Yeah.
And somehow. But the more I thought about it, I was like, wow, they just really don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Wow.
I kept thinking about like the alternate universe. I was like, I guess it's not really relevant anymore.
No.
Because they.
I thought that what he went to in this universe or this episode was
pocket
a part of that other universe.
Yeah.
But they don't even remember that there is another universe, right?
No, I think that's why that's how they were able to make that little pocket universe, is because they knew about alternate universe
things. Oh, that's right. He said he would become like alternate. But
yeah.
I don't know. There was a they didn't remember Peter. That's right.
Yeah. That is kind of cool, though.
Past that already. Yeah.
Peter's going to become the Neo of Fringe.
He's going to be the old guy, the old guy observer.
The one that's after all of them?
The captain? Captain something?
Captain Observer?
Something like that. That guy.
Either that or Steph.
Guy that killed Etta.
Yeah.
The Etta killer.
Thinks that the child from the Pocky universe is an observer. Guy? Yeah.
Yeah, he is an observer.
Oh yeah,
I think we figured. Didn't they just talk about that?
The I got the feeling that they weren't 100% sure that he was an observer, because they kept saying that he's an empath.
Mm.
But they weren't
He's also really young too, and it's the first one that they've ever seen that's that young. So I think they're throwing it in there just to mess with people's heads.
Yeah, it's possible. Okay, so the next death. Is the next one that we knew was coming.
Yeah, we knew this.
Because they've been talking about this the whole time. But just how brutal that she died. First, they cut her open, and the way she just died in like 2 seconds, and how awkward it was for her to say goodbye to her kid with no pants on. That was a weird part. And then the second thing was this test episode.
The last thing that Carl ever saw of his mom was her.
Yeah, without it. Yeah, exactly. And then the second thing was this past episode where she was eaten completely. Her entire self was just devoured. It was just like, not only did they kill her off in the most like unceremonious way, because at least T-Dog got his jaw ripped out, right?
Yeah, something
and,
like that.
And
2.5 seasons too late.
Yeah, exactly. Because he only said like an episode worth of words in 2.5 seasons. But then she gets her cut open, then she dies in 2 seconds. Carl shoots her in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And then now a zombie has eaten her.
And then Rick stabbed her.
Yeah, like ripped the guy's body
she's
open.
In pieces. Come on, man.
The zombie was engorged on her body, and then Rick stabbed his stomach where her body parts were.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been ripped into pieces, so I wasn't really disturbed about that. I was just disturbed about the fact that it was, you know,
sure
that
that
she was eaten. It was like, oh my god!
Because he found the bullet, right? I was like, what the hell? Like, did he miss? What happened? And then he saw this. I was like, oh, that's so crazy.
That is so wrong that she got eaten. I was like, I thought they killed all of the ones in there. Oh.
What I don't understand is, I guess since they killed her before she turned over to a zombie, they still saw her as human meat?
Yeah.
Even though she was dead?
Food, not brains.
Yeah, because remember in the previous episode, the guy killed the deer, and then he just hung the meat. And then
That's true.
That attracted them, yeah. They can smell fresh blood.
So it was just like, wow, they really played to the audience for the fact that Lori just became a huge bitch for like...
Oh, wow.
Last half season or whatever. So it's just like, good. Not only she's
Carol pregnant, apparently is not dead, even though they haven't said as much.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if Carol is dead or not, because it's like we never saw her end.
Because
I think they have.
The sock that she wore on her head
was on her head.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she ran away, remember? You saw her run through the door, so.
And yeah, but.
They think that she's dead, but she's probably like in a hole somewhere, because.
My only problem with that is that it's been
a couple of days.
Well, it hasn't been a couple.
Like a
it hasn't even been a day. But why would she not even look for them? She knows her way around the prison.
Yeah,
maybe she doesn't. I don't know where she. You don't know where she ran off to, right? She ran.
Maybe she thinks she's the only one left.
Yeah, because there's no
way that
she was fully
eaten. I want to go find out. I mean, if it was me.
Yeah, there's no way she was fully eaten because T-Dog wasn't eaten yet. Wasn't fully. So.
Well, that's what after they when they found the rag, I assumed at first that was T-Dog's body and he was mostly eaten. And then they picked up the rag that she wore on her head, and I was like, oh, that must have been Carol.
Yeah.
And I think they assumed it was Carol.
They
and
they didn't ever show a dead body. They've never said, "Oh, she's dead." And I think it's kind of if that's the case, I'll be like, "Well, that really sucks. You showed him die. You showed Lori die, but you just said that Carol died.
Yeah, I don't think she's dead. I don't think she's dead.
Yeah, I don't think that she's dead either. I'm thinking she's gonna.
I was joking with John about the John was like, "They really pared down the cast." I was like, "Well, yeah, they had to make way for the baby."
You know what I understand is in the episode before, in the episode in the prison, they were Carol was practicing on a woman walker,
so she could do a C-section.
So she could do a C-section if she had to, and it was clearly somebody watching her from the bushes.
Yeah,
I think that was one of the inmates that got away.
Was it supposed to be that little Anthony guy, the inmate?
Yeah, the little short guy that.
He was outside of the gate, right?
But he can get in and out of the gate, though.
Yeah, I thought that's what he could do.
Not without them seeing him.
Yeah, but he killed that deer and then dragged it into the gate.
That's true. I just assumed that it was somebody else because they was in the prison.
They haven't really fully explained that, right? Because I wouldn't think it would be just creepily staring around at her.
I just think it's funny that the last time we were talking about The Walking Dead was we were all discussing whether or not Rick had gone off the deep end because he put Anthony in the cage with the zombies, and it turns out didn't make a difference anyway because he didn't die.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, "Oh, he's still alive. Now he's a maniac." But now Rick is going on a rampage, killing every zombie he sees, and the only word he sees in the entire episode is "hello."
Yeah. And it was like, how does this phone still work?
That was the whole thing.
That's going to be
a
big revelation. I've read the comic book pretty far. I don't think that you've read that far, Pete.
No. I haven't read that far.
And after Carol dies, or not Carol,
Lori.
Lori dies. There's a whole bit with a phone that gets.
Does she die in such
disturbing?
In the comic, does she die in such an in such a way? Like,
what happens in the comic is, they get to the prison. They're doing whatever. They run out of supplies, so they need to go out. And Rick and Michonne, who's with them at that point, and Glenn go out and get kidnapped by the governor's people and brought back to Woodbury. Right. And then they're there for a while, and they get shown the whole gladiator thing with the zombies. Then they escape after Rick gets his hand cut off.
Okay.
And Michonne gets raped by the governor, and then she has her payback on him. The governor eventually finds the prison, comes and attacks it, gets beaten by them, and then comes back again with like a whole army and breaks through all the gates. Walkers get in the prison. A bunch of people escape. It's like they all flee. Lori at this point has just had the baby. And then she's running away, and she gets shot while she's running away, killed, and the bullet also kills the baby.
Ooh.
So that's what happens in the comic book.
Oh, well, that sucks.
So in this one, Lori gets cut open, eaten, and the baby survives.
The baby survives, yeah.
Okay. So, wow.
Stranger things have happened. I mean, Shane was alive for a lot longer than he was in the book, in the comic.
True, and then Sophia's still alive. And
yeah.
And Dale was still alive, so that's interesting. It definitely keeps it fresh. They borrow some ideas. They take others.
It's close enough to the comic book where, like, okay, sort of. Actually, if you read on Wikipedia the basic plot of the comic, there's a lot of things that happen in the comic that I don't remember at all that happen in the show. For instance, one of them being Anthony letting a bunch of zombies in the prison.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that from the comic book at all.
I don't remember that either.
But apparently, I read through the Wikipedia. I had the comic books here, but I read through the wiki article, and I was like, oh, I don't remember that.
Well, cool. So I guess we could talk about really quickly what if you guys have any, can you just think of what kind of deaths do you remember, like that, just main characters or small characters, anything like that that you remember from a show or a movie, childhood, adulthood, anyhood, like what kind of
I think for me, not for me, but the most recent one that I can think of, and I don't think it's very shocking for me to say this, would probably be Agent Coulson from the Avengers.
Yeah.
And not to have another spoiler alert on top of that spoiler alert, but there's going to be an Avengers TV show.
Yep.
Post the
Shield, Shield.
Or Shield TV show, post Avengers movie that Agent Coulson is going to be on.
Whoa, yeah. So he didn't die?
Wait, is Shield supposed to be after Avengers or before?
It's going to be, as far as the article that I read, it didn't really go into the plot of what the Shield show was going to be, but it said Agent Coulson will be on the Shield show, not in flashback form.
Oh. Hmm.
Right. But I don't know. I don't think I remember hearing anything about, like, the when, you know, where it will be.
Right.
At what point it'll take place.
Yeah.
After, before, yeah. During.
Right. Well, I think at this point everyone's assuming it's going to be after, but I don't know.
We'll have to wait.
Headline the series.
But, I mean, we're kind of talking about TV deaths, but
the most memorable ones that I can
remember is in movies. And probably the biggest one that I can remember is there's a movie that was in the theaters for like 15 seconds, oddly enough. And the movie was called 15 Minutes.
Yes.
And
never saw that one.
I saw that with you. We watched together because I have it on DVD. It's a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's Robert De Niro and Edward Norton.
Edward Burns. Yeah.
And Robert De Niro is the main character, and halfway through, gets brutally murdered.
Wow.
Crazy. You're just like, what?
To me, it was like, you know, obviously I was old. It came out like 2002 or something like that.
Yeah,
So I'm old enough to like know Robert De Niro is like a big star, and like they don't die in movies. Like his character is going to be the hero. But half of the movie, he doesn't make it. And it's just like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. It was a pretty bold move to.
I think that was the most shocking death that I can ever remember in a movie or TV show. I mean, I can remember characters leaving TV shows but not dying.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, it was just like, oh, he's leaving because that's what they're doing with the character. As an adult, I realized he's leaving the show because he wants to do an acting career. He doesn't want to be on the show anymore, or he got in a fight with a producer.
Yeah.
Like when the one guy left Wings, what's his name? The guy who played Sandman?
Thomas Hayden Church?
Yes. When his character left Wings, the TV show, it was like, oh, he's leaving. You know, his character's gone forever.
Correct.
And I don't know what the whole circumstances were at that point, but like when I was a kid, it was like, oh my God, he's gone. He's not going to be in the show anymore, and he's probably the best show part of the show anyway.
Yeah. Amy, what about you?
Well, I looked at this and I thought, okay, what have I seen in the last recent, you know, just little while that has, yeah, because I honestly can't think of anything that's been shocking, like, oh my gosh, you know, they died, just because I've seen so much of it. You know, in a story, that's just what happens. It's a storytelling device that they use a lot. Some people would say too much. It just depends, you know. And so I've seen some pretty gruesome deaths.
Yeah.
But just in the last, I thought, well, let's keep it relevant to, at least for me, of what's happened just recently. Mad Men, when one of the characters committed suicide. Oh my gosh, that was shocking to me. I thought, because it was a death that I didn't think that he would be that guy, and he did. And I was okay. Yeah. You know, all of us were shocked. We're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, because the whole season it was alluding to somebody else, and then it just did like a whole 180. And yeah.
So there was that. And then we've already talked about Fringe and Walking Dead. I remember when I was watching Lost, when one of the guys died that went down into the water, and they had like a base down there. I can't remember. Charlie was his name. And Charlie died. I thought, no, not Charlie. You know, there were more that died after that. So it's just,
But that was
there was a
the
part
first,
of that the first season finale. The one guy was holding a box of dynamite and it exploded, and I was like, yes, I want to watch the show. And then the rest of it didn't do it for me.
But he was just like a jerk the whole time, anyway, right?
But for me, I had never watched a show before, and it was like, well, this is shocking. That was
they had pieces of them all over them. It was kind of gross. But that was actually one of the first shows that like consistently just killed off their people, right? I mean, they're just they develop these characters and like, bam, you're dead. I'm like, oh, all right.
Well, I was just wondering, well, who's next? Yeah, if the island doesn't kill them, they're going to kill themselves, or you know, some accident's going to happen or something. Yeah. They did it a lot, so I thought, okay, there have been some pretty shocking ones. Let's see. I just started watching Sons of Anarchy with my husband. And
I'm going to turn my headphones off.
La, 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 la. Oh, no. John's actually
there was
watching
a death.
The DVDs
there
right
was
now.
A death in that one just recently. It could be anywhere in the first 5 seasons. Just to say, you don't even know who it is.
I
won't
know
say
who it is.
But
I know
there was a death that happened that was just
all over my Facebook feed. All over.
So I mean, in that, you know, I like it when they actually do something where it's like they don't necessarily have to kill like one of the main characters, but they make the death mean something. It's not just oh, gotcha. No, it's like they've built up this character. You don't see it coming. Not only do you not see it coming, but you're like, you know, it means such a big deal that you know it changes everything. And that's why you know, if they're gonna do that, I'm cool with that. But also, you know, they've also done one in Doctor Who. BBC just had one of their characters leave, and although it's not, they didn't die on a bad thing, it was like they were sent back in time and they grew old and died after that. It was just kind of like wrenching that they left. So those were some of the ones that I've seen recently that have been pretty shocking, like no, I didn't want that to
I think for me, like the one that I can think of that just happened so crazily was a Hong Kong movie first called Infernal Affairs, and actually they remade it into The Departed for that actually got Scorsese his
that's true that was pretty
movie.
Yeah
movie, and it was like, you know, that whole movie the way that movie was made in Hong Kong was completely different than the way it was made in than Martin Scorsese made the film, right? So it was very like fluid. It wasn't a very like visceral film. It wasn't a very harsh film. It was a very like, oh, you know, this guy. It's a very mainstream type film, right? And then it just kind of. Have you ever seen The Departed, Amy?
I haven't.
Oh. Okay.
He's like.
Well then.
Okay. I don't know where else to go from here.
Everyone lives at the end.
Yeah. Well, somebody bites it, and it's very important. And it was like. So this is, it's all going to be fine. And then it happened. So,
well, I think that,
I don't know what to do.
I mean, like when you say like killing the main character doesn't, it's not necessarily shocking to me. It's kind of shocking. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah. No, that was absolutely shocking.
If you're going to kill the main character, you're going to have several other main characters. Cause you don't just kill off the main character.
Yeah, obviously. But a movie like, Saving Private Ryan. Obviously, it's a war movie. There's a whole bunch of people in it. But, like, you know the end of the movie is coming, and it looks like they've fulfilled their mission. They've got to get past this one part, and everything's going fine. And then Tom Hanks gets shot in the chest. And to me, at that point, it's like,
why?
Almost over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, absolutely.
He made it. It's over. Like,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Why did you wait this long?
Yeah,
well, but he still died. Darn it!
Like, because it's a war movie and people die in war in World War II. People die, a whole bunch of people died, and it's like, to me, that's still shocking because you're showing this little sect of it, and it's like, okay, everything's gonna be all right. You know, you had some characters die. That was shocking, but not shocking because it's a part of war. But you followed this character and you made a mystery about him, like who he was and where he came from, and then he dies. It's like. Oh my god! I mean, like, the movie's about him, even though it's about, you know, the whole group of them.
Yeah, he's the driving force of the. Yeah.
To me, that's a shocking death, like that kind of thing, where it's like, you take the main character that you're going to follow, at least, or you expect to make it to the end,
and then they don't, and you're like, why?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sometimes, like I saw The Departed, and certain characters die.
Certain characters die.
And I was like, wow, I liked this movie until the end.
About there, yeah.
You liked it right until the end. So you didn't think it was supposed
to... It takes away a lot from the movie, like what the whole movie's about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people really liked the movie. I think that Scorsese getting the Oscar for it was like, we're sorry we didn't give you this for Goodfellas.
Oh my God, we're getting LED'd.
What?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't. Sorry.
I've been phased. Oh my God, what's going on? What is that? What is that?
My husband came home.
Mommy, no.
Is that a phaser? What is that? I looked into it too. Am I going to die?
No, yep. No, you should be fine.
Okay. Now the glow stick.
Glow stick won't hurt you either.
All right, well, now that we've been phased.
Yeah.
I think,
the moment's been broke.
Yeah, all right. So deaths are good, but deaths are not good. Sometimes.
Make them necessary. Like, you know, give them a reason. Don't just do it just to do it. Or, you know, you needed a shock value in here. Boom, somebody dies.
Or if you're going to kill someone, at least have them get eaten as well. Have them get cut open. Have them get shot in the head, and then have them get completely devoured.
By zombies.
The idea of The Walking Dead to begin with the comic book, was his, Robert Kirkman's motto for the whole series was, no one is safe.
Right. That's just the way it should be.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah, and that's the way it should be. I think, I mean, The Walking Dead is definitely doing really well in terms of...
As far as now, just live in the comic book, but... doesn't mean that he always will be.
Right.
And he hasn't in the past. Like I said, you know, we've had Shane longer than we did.
Right.
And then there are a few people that were in the comic that aren't in the show. Like, you know.
Yeah.
The girl, Sophia.
Yeah. And it's similar, like this other show, American History, not American History, American Horror Story. They're essentially just in the first season they were just like murdering everyone, like everyone was dead,
right?
So, and I think it's similar to the second season. So, all right, well, very good. So just, you know, as always, the deaths will keep piling up in Walking Dead for sure, so we'll keep out for that. And for this week, it is Amy, John, and me, myself, and Peter, and we will see you guys next time.
Cool.
All right.